And part of the flavour, I guess, or the purpose of what God's put on my heart for this message is that others would know the Jesus we know. And as you think about what happened in Acts, most people who came to know Jesus through those brave early disciples were either friends or relatives or neighbours. They very much saw these people in action. And that's my prayer and my passion for us as a church to do as well. Because we have plenty of friends and relatives and neighbours who are yet to know Jesus personally. So this part, the first 10 verses of Acts 3, is really a response to a felt need for the lame man, the lame beggar healed. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So that's the first 10 verses. We're going to press into verses 11 onwards. We'll see how far we get tonight. But I remember having a conversation not long ago with Tim, who's talked to his dad about this. And that lame man sat there day in, day out, even when Jesus was coming to the temple. And it made us question, did Jesus look at him and go, "Oh no, he's for later"? And the other question I raised back in February was, how did Peter and John know that that was when the Spirit of God was going to heal him miraculously? So God has a perfect time for this. And you might ask yourself, why aren't my family and friends coming to know Jesus yet? We pray that God has a perfect time for them as well, to be drawn. And I know there's at least one family affected by what I just said here tonight, whose brother is actually asking questions and starting to soften his heart. And that's the Spirit of God at work, you see. I guess if there's a title for tonight's message, it's that there's a method in the message. We can talk all day long, and yet when we get personal interaction with a healing, or when God steps in and changes someone's heart, it gets lots of attention. And you might remember that last verse, "And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to the lame man," who was 40 years old or more. And so back in February, just by way of review, there are the servants, Peter and John. There is the seeker, the lame man, who desperately wants to have his life changed forever. And he's asking relatively for something small. He just wants his daily needs met. But the name of Jesus, not even the physical presence of Jesus, was enough to change his life forever. And this is where Peter and John are being daring and stepping in to do something that Jesus himself would have done in the name of Jesus. And we can have that same influence on people. The third group of people in those first 10 verses are the spectators. And so you and I, in our day-to-day, we are often talking to spectators. People who are not servants of Jesus yet, people who may or may not be seeking yet, but have certainly seen you and I interacting in their life. So they're looking at us, they're looking on to us, especially when the hard times come. And so the lame man, I really like this next bit, because it forces us to think about what happened when we were healed, what happened when we invited Christ into our lives that day. Verse 11 says, "While he clung to Peter and John." When you first met Jesus and your life was changed by meeting Jesus, I'm presuming that it has. And if you haven't met Jesus yet, you're in the right place to hear about him. But while this lame man clung to Peter and John, not physically because he's healed, He's clinging to them because they're his lifeline. They're the people that have just healed him in Jesus' name. And he goes where? He goes into the temple. He doesn't run away rejoicing and saying, I'm free, I can do what I like. He goes into the temple to worship God. And while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran. Not moseyed on, ran together to them in what's called Solomon's portico. And I'll get Mitch to put up a couple of pictures now. And this is an amazing coincidence, if you like, a God moment, where Ian had these pictures up this morning and I went, that's what I need. Because I was going to try and explain to you that that long wall you see there, that's the side, that's the cliff, and that gate that Ian talked about this morning is the beautiful gate where the beggar sat. But it's about 400 and something metres of the temple area there, which is called Solomon's portico. So think about that length of area. I don't know how wide it would have been, but that area is now filled with people who've run to see this lame man healed in the name of Jesus. Because they've heard about Jesus, they've seen Jesus, they've seen him crucified, they've heard all about Jesus, and now, in the name of Jesus, they're running because they know that something special happens in the name of Jesus. Can you see the appeal? I'm trying to set a little bit of a scene for you because as you and I call out and testify to Jesus in our life, it gets attention. I'm not suggesting that we'll have a 400 metre by 10 metre audience to speak to, but Peter takes the advantage as well. So the next picture, please, Mitch, is the beautiful gate. And this is the one that Ian said has been bricked up. It was initially a brass or bronze one. It was beautiful. And then they put concrete over it. And then they've put graves in front of it. And as Ian said this morning, they're thinking that Jesus, as a rabbi, won't be able to walk over graves. And the next one's a map, just to help you again. So on the right-hand side, see that Solomon's portico? It's the long section along the side, and that's the cliff you're looking at before. It's on top of the Temple Mount along the side, Solomon's portico. Okay, enough of that. But I want you to now see what Peter's he's taken the advantage here. So he's going to recount what has happened. And it's in this part we hear that it's the name of Jesus that healed. And so he's about to give a big crowd of people who are very curious, of spectators, what happened. So when, verse 12, when Peter saw it, he addressed, this is sort of the people running, he addressed the people. And I guess this is where Peter is unique, because he's talking to his people. He is a Hebrew. He knows these people's history. He knows how to relate to them. And the practical part of this is, for you and I, when we have spectators watching on, seeing our life following Jesus, how do we address our friends? Where do we address our friends, relatives and neighbours? How do we reach out to these people? Because we have a shared history. We are all in Australia. We might be related. We might be a similar culture. But Peter knew his target. He knew his audience. He knew their history. He knew how they might be responding to Jesus. And this is where he steps in and he's brave enough. And the subtitle for tonight's message is By Daring and Doing. He's daring enough to step in and do something and speak up. And he says, Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety, that's holiness, we have made him walk? See, straight away he's deflecting. He's saying, it's not me. It's not me. And you and I don't have to make that special emphasis either. We just say, it's Jesus in me. I have a living hope in the Saviour who died for my sins. He says, the God of Abraham, and this is where he goes back into the audience's history. So who's your audience? Who are you challenging with the message of Jesus? He says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers. You see, he's bringing himself to the people, glorified his servant Jesus. And this is where he's got some real logic going on. If you're speaking to people who have a logical objection to Jesus, you can read this sort of stuff and reason with them logically. Okay? If you have a mental approach to people who have a mental barrier to Jesus, you can use logic. If you have an emotional barrier to Jesus in your spectators. You need to just love them, just like Jesus did. Do you remember the lepers? They didn't need a theological or a knowledge about Jesus. They needed love because they were outcasts. So you've got a mental barrier, you might have an emotional barrier, and then you might, the third category, if you like, of spectators might be someone that's just willfully doesn't want to hear about Jesus. And the only way you're going to get through to them is by prayer and then waiting for the Spirit to move in their life, just like we saw here. And so I really like the way Peter gives this double whammy. It's sort of like three sledgehammers in the next few verses. He says, verse 13, the God of Abraham glorified his servant Jesus. And then there's three bang-bangs, if you like, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate. So remember, Jesus was delivered over. And the counterblow is when Pilate had decided to release him. Do you remember that? Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus? And the people said, no, no, don't release him, crucify him. That's the first one. And you see, Peter's building on history, he knows his audience. The second part is, but you denied, in verse 14, the holy and righteous one, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. You see, you deny, he's really firing him up. It's quite brave to say, you denied the holy and righteous one and you asked for a murderer to be freed. How would you be if you're a hearer and you were in that crowd the day when Jesus was brought before Pilate? It wasn't that long ago. And thirdly, verse 15, and you killed the author of life. Sledgehammer blow, whom God raised from the dead. So you can see how would the hearers be feeling? Cut to the heart is another phrase that's used in Acts. Cut to the heart. And then right after this, Peter says to them, to this we are witnesses. See, this is where you might step up to your spectating friends, relatives and neighbours and say, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I am a witness for Jesus. I can tell you about how he's changed my life. So, and that word witness, the Greek word is martyreo, and the other word we might use is martyr. So think about that. As you are as brave as Peter to dare and to do something in the name of Jesus, it might mean that you're a martyr. But the translation, if you like, there's a few references in the New Testament. Matthew 18:16, if you want to turn there, just quickly. And this is where talking about church discipline, or if a brother sins against you, verse 16, but if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Someone that can be there to see it happen. The next one is Matthew 26:65. And this is at Jesus' mock trial, if you like. Then the high priest tore his robes and says, he has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. And the third one is very much missional, and you can go to Acts 1:8. Somebody might be able to do that one from memory. This is Jesus' words. Acts chapter 1. Verse 6, so when they'd come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time, when he talks about the Holy Spirit coming, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his authority, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so Jerusalem is the local area. Judea is the region, if you like, that's our WA. Jerusalem is our Perth. And Samaria would be, I don't know, somewhere we don't want to talk to. Queenslanders? I don't know. Yeah. Or it might be another nation or another country to the very end of the earth. Can you see that progression of being witnesses for Jesus? It can spread very quickly, and that's what happened in the book of Acts. So we're looking at Peter very much because he was the bravest. you remember that? He was the one that was brash and spoke up at those times, so much so that Peter said, where else would we go, Jesus? You have the words of eternal life. Do you remember that one? That's John 6, 68 to 70. And when Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, Peter really knew him. He walked with him. He witnessed Jesus' miracles and works, and he followed it, and he followed the Spirit of Jesus. So that he can now say, in front of all these witnesses in Solomon's portico, verse 16, this is the punchline, if you like. He's saying, this is what's happened to this man. Remember that. Verse 16, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. You see, when someone's life is changed by meeting Jesus, it's very obvious. It's very obvious. Think back to your time when you first heard and trusted the name of Jesus. There was a lifting probably of there was a freedom, a spirit dwells you, and then your heart is changed. And that's what he's saying. This man was given a physical healing, but it was so much more than that because it's in the name of Jesus. How are you going with that? So that's the what happened. That's the explanation of those first 10 verses. And he's got an audience that he knows, just the same as you and I do. Our friends, relatives and neighbours need to hear this. And just by personal application, today Kate and I have met with my mum's cousin. So she had two cousins who were a brother and a sister. And as we drove away, Kate hadn't said anything, but I said to her, it's amazing how out of those two cousins, both were married and had two boys to each family. So they're my second cousins, all four of them. Four boys, all in their now 40s and 50s. And not one of those is following Jesus, although they've heard the name of Jesus. They've been to church, they've heard it, and yet it is not enough yet for God to step in and change their life. So, I ought to be praying for my cousins. And so, I guess if you have people in that category in your life, people who have heard about Jesus but not yet trusted him, you might be asking, who's in charge of this? Like, what can I do? How can I step up? And it reminded me of a phrase at my boarding school, which is now 100 years old, only 100 years old, by daring and by doing. And that's exactly what we've seen Peter and John do in this passage. They've stepped up and they've shared the message and they've given Jesus the credit. Remember, men of Israel, why do you wonder or look at us because this was something that we've done? It's not. It's in the name of Jesus that this man is healed, and it's the same in our hearts and lives when we meet Jesus. And so then I think we see a more compassionate side of Peter who now wants to tell them how all this crowd of spectators can actually meet Jesus themselves. And so verses 17 and onwards, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance. You see, he's referring to people as brothers. He loves them. They're his kin. They're in the same place. They're not strangers to him. He's from the same culture. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In other words, it's not your fault because there's a sinful aspect to this. And then, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. You see, he's talking about God providing Jesus. And this is where you and I need to move from our relationship with these people that we know into the history story, if you like. So the method is the message itself. So what God foretold, he is now fulfilled. And the how is right there in verse 19. Straight in for it, he says, so God's fulfilling this in Jesus' name. Verse 19, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. Repent. So now if you use that word with one of your friends, relatives or neighbours, they're going to, oh, you're getting all spiritual. And so you need to talk about sin and understand what sin is and explain that to them. Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Verse 20, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. You see, what I think that our friends, relatives and neighbours want is the refreshing without the repentance. And so Anthony asked me a question in front of all the youth on Friday night. And he said, well, if people wanted to become a Christian here tonight, how might they do it, Dave? And I said, repent and believe. And that's pretty much what Peter's saying to them here. He's saying, repent and turn back and times of refreshing will come. You see, for you and I, that day we became a Christian, we invited Christ into our hearts, there was a burden lifted, wasn't there? And some people, it didn't happen straight away. Sometimes we have to have a few goes at it and just get straight with the Lord, heart to heart, as it were. All right, so there's no shortcut. There's no shortcut. Repent and believe. You've got to do the hard yards with Jesus. And Peter then refers back into the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 18:18, where Moses said, and this is a prediction of Jesus, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall, this is Moses speaking, so like Moses, from your brothers, you shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Now, that's not something that your friends, relatives and neighbours are going to want to hear. But that is the reality of hell. That is the reality of heaven and hell for those who believe or don't believe in Jesus at the end of, at the judgment. So you see, Peter's drawing on his heritage with his audience, and you and I need to direct our friends, relatives and neighbours into that Old Testament history, because it's real, it's true, and it's right here. Repent and believe that times of refreshing may come. And Ian's been preaching through Genesis with Abraham too, so Abraham gets a mention as well. Verse 25, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth, not just the Israelite ones, that's you and I now, the Gentiles are included, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And God, verse 26, having raised up his servant, and there's all sorts of questions answered here, like, who did he send? He sent Jesus. Why did he send him? To bless you. How? By turning every one of you, what? From your wickedness. So verse 26, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you, the Israelite nation first, to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And the next section in chapter 4 is that the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection, came upon them greatly annoyed, because they were teaching and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So this is where you'll get some kickback, if you like, from your friends, relatives and neighbours who will say, surely not. Surely not. And this is where we're coming up to Easter. We talk about Good Friday, and on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And that's the miracle for us. Because Muhammad's in a grave somewhere, Buddha's in a grave somewhere, but not Jesus. And that's the difference for us. So I just want you to look down at verse 4 there in chapter 4 as well. And, I missed something very important. Verse 3, and they arrested them. So if you're going to dare and do in the name of Jesus, you will face some hard times. And you need to be ready for that. Because remember what Paul said in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation, first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. I'm not ashamed to stand up and talk about the name of Jesus. And what better time do we have to talk about him than the week before Easter? You see, it's only 57 days till the anniversary of Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit's at work. We have an opportunity to speak to everybody and to tell them how Jesus can change their life. I might have told you about Ernie on my postal round. pray for Ernie. I haven't seen him for a while other than to raise, wave. And there's another lady I met who's in her 80s, Lily. And she said to me, how do I know if I'm going to heaven or hell? Well, for me, Lily, I believe in Jesus and I believe that I've accepted him as my saviour and I'm going to heaven right there in 12 seconds. And I've talked to her before and she's a lovely lady and she's been in Dianella all her life and she's had a blessed life. But she still can't be guaranteed about whether she's going to heaven or hell when she dies. And I think of her, 82. How long has she got? So I thought, well, I'll be brave. I'm just a postie. But she knows I'm a pastor as well. And I said to her, well, I know that I'm going to heaven because of Jesus, Lily. So pray for Ernie, pray for Lily. I'm trying to think of some others too, but they're not there at the moment. So what I want to get across to you is that we have a message that is priceless, timeless, and powerful for salvation that we are not ashamed of. And there's two other verses I want you to look at. Firstly, Acts 4:4. Many of those who heard the word believed. And remember, Peter and John are now in prison for the night. And the number of the men came to about 5,000. Now, when you look at that 400 metres in the temple precinct, it wasn't just the number of people that fitted in there, I don't think. What happens when people hear about the message of Jesus is they go and tell others, and it's contagious, and it changes the world. And this is what we see in the book of Acts. We see the disciples who were, what? Witnesses. They saw firsthand Jesus at work. They saw the power of the name of Jesus that they could say to a guy, stand up and walk. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going to give you money because that's a short-term fix, but I can give you something much more. 5,000. Many of those who heard the word believed, the number of men came to about 5,000. I don't know if you've seen that there before. A little bit of a, oh yeah, I remember reading that before, but wow. You see what can happen? The other one I want you to really pay attention to is it's the verse you can direct people to, friends, relatives or neighbours, Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for it is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That does away with all the everyone's good, God will have mercy on all souls. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That sets us apart from every religious system, every other belief in the world that people are relying on to get them to the other side. No other name. So I hope that gives you something to press on with, something to encourage you as well, because this is in AD, what? I'm not even going to put a number on it, but that new temple diagram you saw, that was the new wall on the outer part of that was started in AD 42. So this message about Jesus has been around that long. And they started real early, and that's why we are here today. That's why God has been at work all this time. And yet, remember what he said, until God's not slow about keeping his promises, he's patient that all might come. But he'll know when all is all. And that day will come when Jesus will return. So I hope you don't take this as a conviction or a criticism, but it's certainly an encouragement to step out in faith and to dare and to do. Just like my school motto is. It's very interesting. It's a Latin phrase. And I think what they're trying to do is encourage young men. It was only boys when I went there. But by daring and by doing, you'll achieve your goals. I guess what I'm saying is by daring and by doing, we can achieve God's goals with the message of Jesus. Shall we pray? And then we'll do that familiar thing. Do we still have questions after the sermon, Ian? Or should we do that? I'm happy for questions. Or even testimonies about, how perhaps even if you want to share your story about how you were saved. Enough. Let's pray. Father, I rejoice that it's not by fancy words or clever phrases or even majestic stories that people come to know you, but it's through your spirit at work. in their hearts, and through you working through us to allow us to do what we can to spread the message about what Jesus has done in our lives. I pray that this night, tonight, you would encourage us to be more active in actually sharing you. And just before Easter, it's a great time to talk about why you've come. And talk about the repent and believe that times of refreshing may come. And Father, we think of those who are looking for that refreshment in other ways, ways that will never satisfy them. And we pray for them. I think of the families, the friends, the relatives and the neighbours of those of us just gathered here tonight, and perhaps those of us as a whole church where we are rubbing shoulders with people every day of the week and maybe not talking about Jesus enough. And we thank you that you have worked in our hearts and drawn us to yourself, that we understand the message of salvation and have grabbed it with both hands and invited you into our hearts, and that's precious to us. Thank you that we have gathered around communion tonight too and shared in what it is to remember Jesus' body and blood, broken and poured out for us, and that you came for us while we were still sinners. That's a message the world needs to hear. So help us to dare and to do as much as we can to make this message known, that others might have an opportunity to believe or to turn away. But we pray they would not, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.